This is the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, episode 385.
You're listening to the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray. Tune in every week for practical advice that will help you build your online audience. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
Hello and welcome to the show. In this episode, I'm going to be talking about how you can sell your products and services in Instagram stories without feeling icky or silly. But before we get to the main part of the show, I just wanted to remind you about my social media diary and planner. So if you haven't heard about it before, it's an A4 desk diary that you can use to plan out your content for the coming year. It's packed full of key dates and awareness days that will help you to come up with content ideas and help you keep really consistent with your content planning. But it's not just a diary, it's a content planning tool. So there's templates in there to help you create your annual content plan, then your quarterly, then your weekly and your daily. And it comes with full instructions to show you how to do that. Now, if you need that extra accountability and support, so everybody who buys a diary gets a monthly newsletter from me with additional dates, so films, TV programs, books, things that we wouldn't necessarily have known about when we were putting the diary together. But if you join my Media Diary Owners Club, you will get that extra accountability and support. So you'll also get a weekly email with ideas on how you can use the awareness dates in the diary. You'll get 4 group coaching calls with me across the year. You'll also get my content planning masterclass, which will show you how to create your content plan for the coming year. You'll get extra printables and downloads that will help you with your planning. So you will get that extra support to keep you on track throughout 2020. So if you haven't ordered your diary yet, it really isn't too late to get started with your content planning. So if you head over to janetmurray.co.uk/2020media diary, so it's janetmurray.co.uk/2020media diary, you'll be able to get yours there. And now on with the main part of the show. So in this episode, I'm going to be talking about how to sell in Instagram stories. So how you can sell your products and services, but do it without feeling like you're being pushy or silly or scammy, feeling uncomfortable. How you can do it in such a way where you just feel like you're having a nice conversation with somebody who is actually interested in your products or services. And believe me, it is possible because I do it all the time. But before we get into the strategy, I do just want to give you an overview of Instagram stories and Instagram, an overview in general, in fact. So if you're already familiar, if you're already an absolute wizard using stories, just bear with me for 2 minutes while I just give this quick overview. So if you are quite new to the platform, I think it's worth just thinking about where Instagram stories fits into Instagram as a whole. And the way I usually look at it, for me, there's like 3 aspects to Instagram and they all work really nicely together. And if you can get them working in tandem together, then you can actually really, really boost your engagement. But there's 3 main parts. So the main part, which you might be most familiar with, is the grid. So this is the main part of Instagram. This is generally led by pictures or short videos, can be quite kind of aesthetically pleasing, although not always. So that's kind of your main part of Instagram. And most of those pictures and videos will have captions that go with them and hashtags. So that's probably the bit that you're most familiar with. Then you've got Instagram stories. So Instagram stories, they appear in a bar at the top of your feed, so above the main grid. And that's where you can share short videos, pictures, images, and each aspect of your story is a maximum of 15 seconds if you're using video. You can also add texts or GIFs or polls or quizzes, other interactive features. And I guess the way that I often see stories is almost like the kind of rough and readier aspect of Instagram. So it's the behind the scenes stuff. It's when you take your followers behind the scenes, maybe you show them what you're up to day to day. It doesn't have to be quite so aesthetically pleasing. It really is more of a kind of like rough and ready day to day, more spontaneous part of the platform. Then you've got IGTV. Now, IGTV is a long form vertical video channel that's accessible from Instagram, but also as a standalone app. It's almost like a kind of alternative to YouTube, if you like. And the 3 parts of Instagram, they interact really nicely together. And if you can be sharing your content around and within those 3 parts of it, you can actually really, really boost your engagement. But for this episode, we're just going to focus on Instagram stories. So what is Instagram stories? So Instagram stories appear in a bar at the top of your feed. And when there's something new to see on account of somebody that you follow, what you'll generally notice is that their profile photo will have a colourful ring around it. And to view somebody's story, you simply just need to tap on their profile photo. Their story will appear full screen on your phone and it will show you all of the content that they've posted in the last 24 hours or so. It will play in chronological order from the oldest to the newest. And when you've done looking at one person's story, you'll then move on to the next person, the next person, the next person. And you've probably noticed, if you do use it regularly, that the people's accounts that you interact with the most, they're the stories that you tend to see first. Now, once you're viewing a story, you can tap to go back and forward. You can swipe on to jump onto another person's story. And this is the bit that is really special about Instagram stories when it comes to sales. So unlike regular posts, so if you were posting on your grid, then there's public comments. But with Instagram stories, when somebody comments on your story, it actually goes straight into your direct messages. And when it comes to sales, this bit is actually gold because it's a really great way to have conversations with prospective customers and clients, that people who are actually already interested generally in what it is that you do, because otherwise they wouldn't be messaging you. Now, the great thing about Instagram stories, if you're a little bit nervous about posting online, perhaps you're new to it, is that your content only lasts for 24 hours. So if it makes you cringe or you're not happy with what you've done, I mean, you can always delete it anyway, but at least you know that it's only going to last for 24 hours. However, your best content, and we will talk about this as we go, you can save in the highlights section, which is just above your grid. So people often ask me, how should the content that I post in my stories differ from the content that I post on my grid? So I thought that would be a really good place to start before we dive into the selling strategy part. So as with any social media, there's really no rights or wrongs, but I'd say that my account, which is over at Jan Murray UK, is probably typical of how most people use their grid and their stories kind of in tandem, or the difference between the two. So the content on my grid is much more curated than Instagram stories. It's planned. It has a consistent aesthetic to it. I use the same brand fonts and colors. I alternate between white tiles on my grid and colored ones, and they're all in my color palette. So it feels like it's kind of organized, curated, and planned, although it doesn't necessarily have to be. And if you have a listen to episode 379 of the podcast, and that's the one where I talk about how I got 1,000 new followers in 30 days. In fact, I actually managed to get 1,000 new followers in 1 week, which that will be an upcoming podcast episode. But in that one, I do talk about the fact that you don't have to have that kind of consistent aesthetic. Not all popular accounts have that, but that's often the difference. It's kind of typically the difference that you'll see. So somebody will have quite a curated feed with a consistent aesthetic, consistent fonts, consistent colors, consistent kind of layout. And then the Instagram stories will be a lot more kind of rough and ready behind the scenes. I do still try and keep to a kind of consistent look. I try and use the same kind of fonts and colors on my stories, but it's much more rough and ready. It's much more behind the scenes. It's much more spontaneous. And I think my account is probably typical of how most people use it. So do check it out. It's at Jan Murray UK if you want to see it. So what makes an engaging Instagram story? So before we even get into the sales part, I think we need to understand what makes an engaging story. What makes somebody actually sit and watch your story rather than moving on to the next person's story? Well, for me, the clue is really in the name, story. And a story generally needs a beginning, a middle, and an end, or at least some kind of narrative that you can follow. Now, one of the most confusing things about Instagram stories, and perhaps you find this confusing too, is that when you hear people talking about them, you'll often hear people talking about stories. And by that, they mean the individual elements of a story. So that might be an individual picture. It might be an individual photograph. It might be an individual 15-second video, because that's the maximum that you can have. And people will talk about those kind of individual elements as a story. But then they will also talk about a string of those different bits of content together as a story. And personally, I find that a little bit confusing. I still find it a little bit confusing. So I tend to think of it like this, and you might find this helpful too, is to think about them being chapters in a story. So when I'm putting a story together, I'm usually putting together something like 7 to 10 different chapters, if you like. And each chapter would be up to a 15-second clip if it's a video. So I might have a series of pictures or photos. I might have a little bit of me talking to camera, a few 15-second clips of that. I might have some text, but that would be a series of almost chapters in a story. And personally, I find it much easier rather than talking about stories as individual elements and then talking about an entire story. I find it easier to talk about like the chapters in your story. So for each story that you create, which is intended to sell, that's what we're going to talk about in this episode, I would recommend probably having about maybe 7 to 10 different chapters or different individual elements. But don't worry, I will break that down a little bit for you as we go. Now, there are no hard and fast rules about how long your Instagram stories should be. So I generally say if you're putting together a story that is to sell a particular product or service or to promote a podcast or a blog post that you've got coming out, then about 7 to 10 is probably about right in terms of holding people's attention span. But it does really depend on the content that you're creating. So for example, I have done longer ones. So for example, I've got a video that I created of me showing the inside of my social media diary and planner. And in order to be able to do that and give people an insight into the different sections, I had to make it a little bit longer. So there's no hard and fast rules, but just test things out. And you can actually see, you can get quite good data on Instagram stories as to how many people are watching your stories. And basically you can see as you go through each chapter, each element of your story, you'll see how many people are dropping off. And if you see like a big drop off, you know that probably your stories are too long. So you just need to experiment a little bit. And sometimes it does depend what exactly it is that you're doing. But if you're creating a story specifically to sell, which is what I'm really focusing on in this episode, then I would say maybe about 7 to 10 is probably about your maximum. So here's my main tips for making your stories engaging. And then we'll talk a little bit about sales stories in particular. So the very first thing that I do, probably in most stories that I create, is I start with a question that introduces the theme of the story and what I'm going to be talking about. Because what I want to do is to get people in a conversation with me. Because if I can get people in a conversation with me, I can start to understand what it is that they need and start to understand a little bit more about whether my products or services might be a good fit. So for example, I've recently launched a podcasting course, and I will put a link in the show notes if you're interested in that. It starts on January the 20th, 2020, if you're listening in the future. I've recently launched that. And when I was doing the sales stories for that, instead of just posting information about the podcast, obviously stories is a great way to tell people that you've got a course happening. I started with a question. So are you thinking of launching a podcast in 2020? And I use Instagram. It's got some great features. So it's got polls and quizzes and questions that you can add into your stories. So I started with a question, and that immediately gets people involved. And it also helps you to identify who's actually going to be interested in your product or service. So it doesn't matter what I'm talking about. So I could be asking, have you done all your Christmas shopping yet? Or I might be asking, like, I often do things in my stories where I'll post my to-do list for the day. And then I'll say, what's the one thing that you've got to get done today? So it doesn't matter what the story is about, whether you're selling something, whether you're not, you're just creating a story for engagement and conversation. I always aim to start with a question that will get people talking back to me. So the examples I gave there were, are you thinking of launching a podcast in 2020? Have you done all your Christmas shopping yet? Here's my to-do list for today. What one thing have you got to do today? So ask a question. That will be my top tip. So if you can open your story with a question, you're much more likely to get engagement. My second tip is to use a variety of media within each story. So if you're just posting picture after picture after picture, you'll probably find that your engagement starts to drop off. But if you're mixing up maybe photographs, pictures, videos, and maybe a little bit of text, one thing I do quite a lot in my stories, and if you follow me on Instagram, you might have seen me do this, is I create these text-based stories or aspects to my stories where I will actually sort of type onto the screen and have the text dropping into the story paragraph by paragraph. And that can be quite nice as well. But I think in order to keep people engaged, have to remember that people are busy. They're probably scrolling while they're, waiting for the kettle to boil, probably while they're on the loo, while they're going to bed, just dropping off to sleep at night or whatever. So their attention isn't going to be like massive. So I think to keep people engaged, if you've got different types of content, you're much more likely to be able to keep people engaged. My third tip is to keep your story visually interesting by using GIFs, Instagram's got some great resources like little borders, like stickers that you can use and gifts. Actually, for my recent live event, 2020 Sorted, we had some of our own stickers created. So if you search Janet Murray in the gifts on Instagram stories, you'll find like loads of my own branded stuff. So I've got one called Content Queen. I've got 2020 Sorted one. I've got one that says new podcast, new blog. So they can be really, really fun to use and can just make your stories much more visually appealing, and there's loads for you to choose from, but do feel free to use mine. My fourth tip is don't be afraid to ask more than one question in your story, because that can really help people engage. So for example, when it came to my podcasting course, I might ask a question like, are you interested in starting a podcast in 2020? Then I do this thing, which is a great little tip for you, called the double yes. So instead of giving people the option to say yes or no, you give them basically two kind of yes options. So you might say, yes, I've got a podcast already. And then the other alternative might be, yes, I'd love to start one. Or you might say, yes, I'd love to, or yes, I'd like to, but I don't really know where to start. So what you don't really want to do is have people replying negatively to your question. So this double yes thing works really, really well. So don't be afraid to ask more than one question. So you could ask something like, are you interested in starting a podcast in 2020? And then you say, if you answered yes, then let me know what kind of podcast you'd like to start. And then you could use the question sticker to get people involved. So the more you can get people involved in a conversation, the more you can get people talking to you, well, the more likely people are going to want to, you know, it's just that kind of know, like, and trust thing. You're going to build that relationship. And then when you do have something to sell, or if you do have something to sell, then people are going to be much more likely to want to buy because you've got that engagement going. My tip number five would be to have one clear call to action at the end of any story that you create. So you just basically want to tell people what you want them to do next. Now, it might not always be about selling a product or service. It might be swipe up to read this blog post or listen to this podcast. It might be DM me for the link. Unless you've got 10,000 followers on Instagram, then you can't do that swipe up thing. Anyway, I've just got it and it's fantastic being able to get people to swipe up and take them straight to the link. But actually, even if you're selling something, I would always recommend that you get people to DM you anyway, because if you just say, follow this link to find out more about my course or to buy my product, then you're almost like sending people away from you. But if you're saying to people, DM me for the link, then you're getting in a conversation with people, and people are much more likely to say to you if they've DM'd you for the link, by the way, what's the shipping time on that? Or what are the shipping costs? Or will this be suitable for me? If it's much easier for people to do that once they're already inside your direct messages. But if you're sending them off to an external site, then they're much less likely to come back and to start asking you questions. And that's really what you're trying to do, is to start conversations about your products and services. So hopefully that's given you a bit of a kind of overview of just kind of general good practice when it comes to stories. So the key things I'd say would be, don't make them too long. So I would say maybe 7 to 10 chapters or individual elements for a story is probably about best, but sometimes you might need to go a little bit longer. Make sure you're trying to vary the type of content. So a few photos, some video, a bit of you talking to camera, some text. And I'm not saying that you have to have all of those elements in every story, but if every story that everybody views of yours looks the same because it's all text or it's all photos or it's all you talking to camera, then people are going to quickly switch off. So you need to try and kind of keep people engaged by kind of mixing it up and keeping it interested. Start with a question. Don't be afraid to ask more than a question and give one clear call to action at the end. The reason for one clear call to action is that if you're saying to people like, swipe up to read the blog post, or DM me if you want more information, or okay, reply to this question. If you're giving people too many choices, they'll end up doing nothing. So keep it really simple. Just one thing, one action that you want people to take at the end of each story that you create. And remember, when we're talking about stories, we're talking about those kind of a kind of bigger story that's made up of those individual elements, which I call chapters and other people sometimes call stories. And they might be short video clips, photos, text, whatever. So it's those different elements that make up a story. Okay, so now it's time to move on to the juicy stuff. So how do you actually sell in your Instagram stories? Well, I wish I could tell you there was some big secret on how to sell in your Instagram stories, but it's actually just about getting your viewers involved in a conversation about your products and services. And the key place to start is just to think about, what is the problem that my product or service solves? And that's really where you start with your stories. So to use my podcasting course as an example, well, what problem does it solve? It basically solves the problem where you've got a person who wants to start a podcast, but they're not really sure how to start. They're not sure what their podcast should be about. They're not sure what tech they need. They're not sure how long it should be, how many episodes they should do, whether they should do interview shows or solo shows. They're basically somebody who wants to get a podcast on air, but they're just not really sure how to get started and how to do it. That is the problem. So me and Colin will come along with the podcasting course and we'll basically hold people's hands to get them from kind of having a bit of an idea to actually getting them on air in 60 days. So with the stories that I put together for the podcasting course, that's where I started. So I just asked a question. Are you looking to launch a podcast in 2020, but you're not sure how to get started? So just simply asking that question. So the point of doing that is, well, there's a couple of points of doing that. So first of all, what you're doing is you are identifying the people who actually have a desire. And this is the key word. You need to find the people who've got a desire to start a podcast, because there's no use in me talking about my products or services or trying to get into the direct messages and having a conversation with somebody who has no interest in starting a podcast. It's just a waste of time, isn't it? So the first thing I want to do is to identify the people who have a desire to start a podcast. So that question identifies those people. So just simply asking, would you like to start a podcast in 2020? That's identifying people who have a desire. And the way I would set that up in stories, I would do a double yes where I said, no, I would say something like, I already have a podcast. I wouldn't have a no because that's negative. I already have a podcast would be one option. And the other option would be, yes, I would love to start a podcast. So then it's about, you know, taking the story a little bit further, giving some information about what would be included. And then simply at the end of it, just saying, would you be interested in getting some more information about it? A clear call to action. So that's probably the first story that I put out. And I'll talk about this more as we go, but one story is probably not going to be enough to sell your course or your program or your product. You're going to need to do a number of different stories coming at it from different angles if you want to be really effective at this. So that's basically where you start. So you want to identify the people who've actually got a desire to start a podcast. And you can find that out simply by asking, would you like to launch a podcast in 2020? So you could just ask that question, or you could maybe go a bit deeper and say, would you like to start a podcast in 2020, but you're not quite sure where to get started? And anyone who answers yes to that has the desire. So that's the kind of person that you want to be talking to. And you know that if you DM that person, they're probably not going to think that you're icky or silly or horrible, because they put their hand up. They've raised their hand and said, I am interested in this topic. So just asking that question, are you interested in starting a podcast? That helps you to find somebody who's got a desire to start a podcast. So that's great. You can start talking to that person and they're unlikely to think that you're icky, or pushy or silly, because they've actually said, I am interested in starting a podcast. If you start talking to them in the direct messages about your podcasting course, they're probably not going to be massively offended. However, the people you really want to talk to are the people who have a desire to start a podcast and they're also interested in finding out more about your course. So that's why I would give the call to action at the end by saying, would you be interested in, DM me? So you're getting them to come to you. So direct message me if you would like the link to the waitlist, or direct message me if you would like more information. So they're the people you really, really want to talk to, because they're not going to be offended at all. Because not only have they told you they've got the desire to start a podcast, they've also told you they've got the desire to know more about your course. So I'm just going to run through that structure again of how that story might work. Ask a question that identifies people who have that desire to solve the problem that your product or service solves. So in this case, are you interested in starting a podcast? That would identify the people with the desire. Then share a little bit of information. So just a little bit of information about what's included, maybe some pictures, maybe some video, lots of different ways that you could do that. You talking to camera, whatever you think is going to work. And then your call to action at the end is you're going to say something like, DM me if you'd like the link to get on the waitlist, or DM me if you'd like to find out more. Now, if you have over 10,000 followers, you could do the swipe up option and you can send people straight to the sales page. The problem with that is that you're sending people away from you, when actually what you really want to do is to get in a conversation. Because if you're in a conversation with somebody, they're much more likely to say, do you know what, Janet, I'm a bit unsure about this. I'm not sure if I'm going to have enough time, or I'm not sure what kind of budget will I need for the setup. So that's really where you want to be, because if you can actually have a conversation with somebody, you're much more likely to be able to get them to the stage where they are ready to buy. So that's one way to sell Instagram stories. I'll give you another example. So my 2020 social media diary and planner, I have sold loads of these via Instagram, and specifically via Instagram stories. So the stories that I've created for the diary often start again just with that problem. So I think to myself, what problems does my social media diary and planner solve? Well, there's two main problems. First problem is it helps people who struggle to think of ideas because it's got awareness days and key dates. So it helps people to just come up with ideas to post on social media and their email newsletter, their blogs and blogs or whatever. The other problem it solves is consistency. So people who struggle to stick to a plan, it gives them a kind of framework to follow and it helps them to actually create that plan. So when I've created stories about my social media diary and planner, like sales stories, I usually would start with a question with something like, do you sometimes find it difficult to stick to a content plan? And then I'll do the double yes or say something like, actually, I'm brilliant at planning. So there's no negativity in there. People who think they're brilliant at planning and probably don't need my diary, they can say, actually, I'm brilliant at planning. And then the other answer, so there'd be two alternatives in a poll on Instagram stories would be, yes, I really struggle with that. Or you could do a double yes where you say, yes, I really struggle with that. Say, I'm okay, but I could do with a bit more help, something like that. That's also a double yes. But what you don't want to do is you just want to be talking to the people who your product or service can help. You don't want to be messing around with people who are brilliant, completely brilliant and don't have a problem with that at all. So that's how the double yes can be really helpful. So I'll often start with a question like that. Then I will show some pictures or some video of the diary. I've already mentioned that I've got a video that I've shared quite a few times actually in my stories because it is okay to reshare content. Remember, it disappears after 24 hours of me showing people around the inside of the diary. That's probably the most common question I get asked about the diary is, can I see inside it? What does it look like inside? Even though we have pictures on the sales page. So I'll share that video, share a few pictures. And at the end, just give a single call to action. So it could be DM me for the link to order. It could be link to order in my bio. It could be DM me if you have any questions. Before the diary was actually officially on sale, we had a wait list and we had a pre-order list. We had a wait list actually before, but people could pre-order. So DM me for the link to the wait list. So you're just giving that single call to action that's getting people into the direct messages and you're getting into a conversation. Now, another really powerful way to sell in your Instagram stories is to share client or customer testimonials and ideally ones that address your most common objections. A big kind of mistake I see people making with testimonials is just getting these really kind of bland statements from customers saying, oh, it was really nice to deal with Janet. Like she was really, really efficient and really nice to deal with. Well, that's not going to really make me want to buy. What's going to make me want to buy is if I'm sitting there thinking, I want to buy this diary or I want to buy this podcasting course, but I've got a big doubt or a big objection. If I see something that gives me that reassurance, I need to think, okay, well, this person had the same doubt as I had or the same worry I had, or I can see that, you know, this thing that I'm worrying about is not a problem. I'm much more likely to buy. So a really common objection that most of us get to from people who are thinking about buying our products or services is, it's too expensive or I can't afford it. So sharing testimonials or client, it could be emails or messages, obviously get their permission first, where they're saying something like, you know, when I invested in your product or service, I have to say I was a little bit nervous about it because it felt like a big investment. However, I have doubled the cost of my investment or I've made back the cost of my investment or I've made this much money on top. That's really the kind of thing that is going to really sell your products and services for you, not kind of bland like, oh, Janet was really nice to work with and she was very punctual or her diary arrived, you know, in a timely fashion, in a nice envelope or whatever. What people are really looking for is the transformation. So the kind of stories or the kind of client stories that I would share in my stories about my diary, for example, would be when someone sends me a message to say, do you know what? I used to be so disorganized about my planning. I was really inconsistent. But since I've had your diary, I've posted every day for the last 28 days and I've got 3 leads or I've got like 3 new customers. And so what people are really looking for is those tangible transformations. So sharing client stories, I call them client results. Some people call them testimonials, but I call them client results. That can be a really, really powerful way to sell. And what you'll notice is if you just drop those into your stories every now and again, and you can create a story where you say, you know, where you basically just kind of share, you know, a selection of those kind of client testimonials or client success stories, you will get DMs from people who say, oh, I just noticed that was really interesting. Can you tell me more? And that's really what you're trying to do. When I said at the beginning that I wanted to show you how to sell in Instagram stories in a way that wasn't icky or selly or that was going to make you feel uncomfortable, this is what you're trying to do. You're trying to draw people towards you. And if you're sharing like really amazing success stories, and by the way, it's much better to share an actual screenshot of a message that somebody sent you or a comment that somebody's put on in your Facebook group or in a Facebook ad or something like that. It's much more compelling to do that. Obviously, always get people's permission first before you do that. That's much more compelling than you going over to Canva or some free design tool and creating some beautiful looking thing. It feels much more real. It might not look as aesthetically pleasing, but remember with Instagram stories, it doesn't have to be, but it's much more real if it looks like a real message or a real email that somebody sent you. And I do that kind of thing all the time. So definitely worth doing that. Just obviously make sure that you get people's permission before you share it. Another really powerful thing that you can do is to show pictures or videos of people using your products or services. So a couple of people that do this really well. So Beth from Mama Life London, if you follow me on Instagram, you've probably seen like she has a branded clothing company like Slogan t-shirts and sweatshirts. I've got quite a lot of her stuff. And what she does is every time somebody sends her a picture of themselves wearing one of her outfits, or she's been lucky, she's had a few celebrities wearing her outfits, she shares it in her Instagram story. Now, people don't just do that without you asking them to do it. So you'll probably notice if you bought one of my 2020 social media diary and planners, you'll probably notice that in the follow-up email that you get, I actually say in that email, I would love it if you could send me a picture of yourself using your diary or send me a picture of your diary and I'll put it in my Instagram story. So if you have one of my diaries and you send me a nice picture of it or a picture of you using it or whatever, I would generally put that in my story. But if you want people to do that kind of thing, you have to tell them what it is that you want them to do. So that's been really compelling for me. So people send me pictures of their social media diary and planner. They send pictures of them using it, or sometimes they send me like lovely flat lays that they've created and beautiful looking flat lays. When I share them in my story, I inevitably get messages from people who say to me, oh my God, your diary looks so beautiful. I want one. I've got FOMO. In which case, if somebody has reached out to you and said, I've got FOMO, then you're not going to feel icky or horrible because they've come to you. So if then you get back to them and just say, oh, by the way, like here's the link to buy it, nobody's going to be massively offended. And I'll often ask actually in my stories about my media diary, when I've been showing some pictures and I've shared in my stories some pictures of people using the diary or some videos that people have sent me or whatever, I'll often say at the end, like, I'll actually ask that question, have you ordered your diary yet? I'll do a double yes or say, yes, I've got mine and I love it. Or that in this case, I would say, I want one, or no, but I want one, or something like that. And then anybody who says in their answer that they want one, I'll just send them a little message that says something like, if you've got FOMO for the diary, here's the link to buy it. And again, nobody gets offended because they voted in a poll to say that they wanted one. So how could they possibly get offended about you sending them the link? Normally they'll say thank you very much, and often they will buy. And do remember that you can use your stories to sell anything, not just your products or services. You can use exactly the same process to get somebody excited about reading one of your blog posts or listening to a podcast episode. So we do it as my podcast episode. So for example, if I have a podcast episode coming out about how I gained 1,000 Instagram followers in a month, we wouldn't probably just say, here's my latest podcast episode, go and listen to it. We probably would ask a question, something like, are you interested in growing your Instagram following? Hell yes. So we do a double yes, or I'd love some more tips or something like that. So again, people are putting themselves forward and saying, yes, I'm interested in this subject. Then we might share some information about the podcast, and then we might ask a question at the end. We might say, are you going to listen? Or we might say something like, DM me for the link. And anybody who's voted or anybody who's answered the question positively to say that they want Instagram tips, we might actually go through, or we would actually go through and give them the link to the podcast. So you can use this process. You don't actually have to be selling a product or a service. You could be selling information. It could be a podcast or a blog post or something like that. So the next thing that we need to cover, I said earlier that doing these kind of stories with the process that I've given you and the kind of format that I've given you, that can be really effective. But if you really want to make sales on Instagram stories, you need to go a step further. And the other step that you need to take is to deal with people's objections. So if you're anything like me, you're probably quite well tuned into your customers or clients, like common objections anyway. But actually just doing those initial stories can help you to understand more about their objections, of the questions that people are asking you in the DMs, the questions that, or the kind of objections that people are raising, that can actually give you ideas for further stories. So with my podcasting course, I noticed that a lot of people were saying things like, I really like to start a podcast, but what holds me back is I don't really know why I'm starting one. I don't really know why it would help my business. Like, I like the idea of it. I like listening to podcasts, but I just don't really know how it would help my business. Now, for me, that seems really obvious, but because I'm now in my fourth year of podcasting, most of my clients come via my podcast. If I look back at my sales, I've generated probably about £1 million of sales from having a podcast. So for me, it's just so obvious. But there's loads of other things, like it's helped me build authority. It's helped me get booked for speaking gigs. It's helped give me like credibility. That's led to lots of other opportunities. It's helped me to stay consistent with my content. It's helped me to kind of stay like ahead of the game and make sure that I'm always on top of all the latest developments in my industry. There's so many different advantages, but the key one, obviously, it's had a massive impact on my bottom line. So when I ask most of my clients how they find me, it's usually via my podcast. So this was coming up a lot, this particular objection. So I thought, well, what can I do about this and how can I address it in my stories? So I did a poll in some of my Facebook groups where I have actually paying clients and asked them, how did you find me? And overwhelmingly, people voted in the poll to say that they found me via my podcast. So I was able to share that poll in my stories. The other thing that I did is I asked a lot of my fellow podcasters, so other people who have got quite successful podcasts that actually do generate revenue for their business, I asked them, I put a post on Facebook, it's actually my own personal Facebook wall, and just asked them if they could tell me, you know, what were the key benefits of having a podcast. And I screenshot them with their permission, of course, and shared those in my story. Now, I didn't just jump onto my story and just without context start sharing this stuff. Again, I started with a question and I said something like, and I will share in the blog post that goes along with this podcast episode, I'm going to share some of the examples that I'm talking about so you can actually look at the stories. But if you want to check anything out, go over to my Instagram account, Jan Murray UK, have a look in the highlights bit, which is just above the grid, and you'll see lots of these examples there as well. But I will put them in the blog post that goes along with this episode. So I started off by asking a question to get people engaged in the topic. Then I showed the examples. And then at the end, I said something like, having seen those examples, do you now get why it's worth having a podcast? I just asked that question. And a lot of people messaged me back. So some people messaged me back, or it was a poll that I created. And so quite a few people said, yes, I get it now. But actually quite a few people said they didn't get it. So I was able to message those people and say, so you voted in my poll to say that you still weren't sure how having a podcast would help your business. Let me know if you'd like some more information. Now, not everybody replied to that, but some people came back to me in the DMs and said, yeah, I would like some more information, or I've still got an outstanding question. So we were able to have that conversation. And obviously it's those conversations that lead to sales. So even when you are tackling objections, it's important to still keep the stories interactive, to remember that there does need to be some kind of narrative. So generally start with a question, give some information, and then have a single call to action at the end. That call to action might just be, message me if you've got any more questions, but just tell people what you need to do. So the final thing I want to talk about is using highlights. So this is the bit above your grid on Instagram where you can basically, the clue is in the name, you can include the highlights from your stories. So if you've got any stories that have done particularly well, then you can have them there. Now, what's really brilliant is that when people are looking at your account, when they visit your profile, they'll often go and have a little nose through your highlights. And I know this for sure because I get quite a lot of inquiries, particularly about my social media diary and planner, where people have clearly been thumbing through. I've got a highlight, which is specifically for my diary, and people have clearly been thumbing through the highlights, which are pictures of people using them, is the video of me showing the inside of the diary, excited messages from people from my Instagram stories where people are kind of saying, I've just got my diary, I'm so excited, the different covers, those lovely flat lays that I've mentioned. And so people respond to those. And when people respond to them, they come straight into my DMs and I know where they've come from. And I can see that they've come from those highlights in my stories. And they'll often ask questions like, have you still got this cover in stock? Or they'll ask like, what's the shipping time to this country? Or how soon could I get this? Can I just buy a digital version of the diary? So I can tell that people have been just flicking through the highlights and they've come to me with a specific question. So it shows it's definitely worth doing it. Now, I would really recommend having a highlight section for each of your key products or services or something that you're promoting at the moment. So I've currently got one for my podcasting course. So anybody who's interested in that, they can go and have a look in there. I've got one for my social media diary and planner. I've got one for my Build Your Online Audience program. And I've also got one for client results. So anytime somebody sends me a lovely message, an email, or post something in a group, I will generally put it in my story and then add it to my highlights. So I hope you found that useful, and I hope that's given you the confidence to start selling in your own stories. And I hope it's reassured you that this isn't about you going out there and annoying people and selling. It isn't about you getting into your direct messages and sending messages to people who don't want to hear from you. It's about using your stories in quite a strategic way to basically, it's that key thing is the desire. So to find people who have a desire to solve the problem that your product or service, well, the problem that it solves, but also might have a desire to actually buy from you. And once somebody has put their hand up and said, I have this problem, or I have a desire to solve this problem, then they're never, ever going to get cross with you for DMing. Nobody has ever, ever got cross with me for sending them a link for my diary when they've actually voted in a poll or they've answered a question in my story to say they are interested. Nobody has ever got cross with me when they've actually put their hand up and said, yes, this is something that I struggle with. And remember that the things that I'm sharing here about selling, now we are talking specifically on this episode about selling, but they're all good practical ideas and tips and tactics that you can use just to get more engagement on your stories. So as ever, I do love hearing from you, and I would love to hear how you get on with using some of these strategies to sell in your own stories. Best place, obviously, to catch me is over on Instagram. You can find me at Jan Murray UK.
If you've enjoyed this week's episode of the Build Your Online Audience podcast with Janet Murray, do check out her Build Your Online Audience program over at buildyouronlineaudience.com. The Build Your Online Audience program is the essential resource for anyone looking to build an engaged online following. If you want to attract more leads online so you can stop wondering where your next sale is coming from, or if you want to launch a dream project like an online course, book, or podcast, the Build Your Online Audience program has everything you need to grow an engaged online following. Head over to buildyouronlineaudience.com to find out more.